May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Hymn 767.
Thank you. read together this evening from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and then read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live for ever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live for ever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Shall we now turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, and read together chapter 15. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word and help us now to come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, almighty Lord God, do make us mindful of whom we stand before, that thou, almighty God, seest us each, knowest every thought that is being thought at this time. Thou seest, O Lord, into the hearts of each of us gathered. Grant us then a right spirit in approaching unto thee, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. For, O Lord, thou art not mocked. No, keep us ever mindful. Keep us from ourselves. Keep us from falseness in our worship. Keep us from a form that denies the reality of it. O Lord, by thy power, Holy Spirit, move in our hearts this night. Oh, do search us out. Do pray, O Lord, according to thy promise, that as we are gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be in our midst, that we might know and feel thee indeed to be a very present help unto us each, in the way and the pathway thou hast called us to walk in, that thou wilt grant to us, O Lord, faith to believe, submission of our spirit to thy will. O Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so it is, O Lord, but grant us submission to thy will, whatever that will might be. Grant us, we pray, O Lord, those eyes to look up unto thee. Lift our thoughts above all those distractions in our minds, in our thoughts. Satan, with those arrows of unbelief, of doubt, fear, anxiety, Lord, do come then to each of thy troubled ones and lift up, support, upheld, strengthen. Thou knowest, Lord, each one where they are, and we pray that thou wilt come and move. Thou wilt melt our hearts, Lord, that there might be known in our gathering this night that in the reality of it, as those upon the Emmaus road felt, it did not our hearts burn within us. O Lord, in that communion with thee as they walked upon the road. And so we pray, Lord, that by thy power thou wilt work in our midst this night, that our gathering is not in an outward appearance, but there is that desire in our hearts to see Thee, Lord Jesus, above all things. That there is that in our hearts, a drawing out after Thee, a desire, a cry, a sigh. Lord, hear those inward sighs, cries, groans, petitions of Thy people. And do come, do come. Do grant that peace which passeth all understanding. Do, Lord, fill the place with Thy felt presence, with Thy love, with Thy mercy. O Lord, as the sun shines into the darkness, might Thou, Lord, shine into our hearts. Dispel the darkness, the doubts, the fears. Lord, oh, hear our cries. Hear those cries that go up to Thee from the seat. Hear those cries that have gone up unto Thee, O Lord, that Thou wilt move our hearts. Thou wilt work in the hearts, O Lord, of each, as that comfort to Thy people. And those that sit unconcerned, might there be that bringing into concern. Might there be that cry, why am I thus? Why? That work begun. O Lord, Thou art able, and we pray, according to Thy eternal purposes, there might be that work even in our day and generation. Lord, that work, those answers to prayer, that in Thy covenant. Lord, do, by Thy power, Holy Spirit, crown the gospel with success. Oh, we pray, Lord. And so we lay all at Thy feet. For to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. But might it be a concern with us that we are Thine. Above all the things that matter in this world, Lord, as Thou didst speak to Martha, one thing needful, one thing needful. Oh, and as Thou dost speak to Thy disciples, rejoice not that spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. No, might there be rejoicing known this night, O Lord, at Thine appearing, to that waiting one, that crying one. Hear that cry, come, Lord Jesus. O Lord, and grant that venturing unto Thee, come unto me, Thou hast said, all ye that labour heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Grant that then, O Lord, a hearing ear, a drawing out, that work of bringing sinners from darkness unto light. Lord, we pray, for Thou to work in our midst, in our hearts. For we come, O Lord, confessing our many, many sins, thought, word, deed, indwelling sin, presumptuous sin, all manner of sin, O Lord, thought, word, deed, O Lord, wash, pardon our every sin. In Thy precious blood, we pray. Lord, to know thee. Is that altogether lovely? The chiefest among 10,000. O Lord, grant us then prayer in our hearts, that we do not just utter words, but oh, that desire. Oh, for our souls to be fed upon thee, Lord Jesus. So help us now. Lord, help us as we come to thy word. Grant us help. Grant us an opening of thy word, that it might be owned of thee, applied of thee. Lord, oh work, we pray. Oh might there be, Lord, that set forth, owned of thee. For unless thou dost bless, what is our gathering? So bless us, Lord, as we are gathered in thy name. Keep us, O Lord. Put thine arm about us. Keep us from the disturbances without, but oh much more those things within us. Oh, we would pray. Help us, Lord. Help each. Bless this people that gather here, O Lord. Hear those prayers that go up. Be with those unable to be out this night. Do be with them and bless them. How might there be that let down into their hearts. And oh, the children and the young people, hear those prayers that go up for their never dying soul. That there might yet be that time. O Lord, of setting captives free, of bringing lost sinners out of nature's darkness into that marvellous light, there might be those prayers answered concerning their never dying soul. Be with thy true church, be with thy people where they gather throughout this world. Bless, O Lord, be with thy sent servants. We would bear before thee once more thy people that gather at Black Boys. Be with them in the pathway they walk through. Be with their pastor where he is, O Lord, and bring him back in safety. And those that mourn, be with them, O Lord, we pray. O Lord, do come, do comfort. For only thou art able to comfort in that pathway of bereavement. Only thou canst work, comfort the soul. O Lord, so be with us now. Help, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord, as we come to thy word. Leave us not. Bless us together. As we ask all for thy dear name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 233. The sinner that truly believes and trusts in his crucified God, his justification receives, redemption in full through his blood. though thousands and thousands of foes against him in malice unite, their rage he through Christ can oppose. Led forth by the Spirit to fight, hymn 233.
Thank you.
Lord might help, I would direct your thoughts to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and verses 5 and 6. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5 and chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The words in particular that laid upon our thoughts were the latter part of verse 6, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. To me. But these words are so interlinked with the previous verse where Paul, as it were, sets forth those two exhortations, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. And then takes them to the foundation of their hope, of those things that they believe. The sovereignty of Almighty God, that watching over each one of his people. I will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. As our thoughts go to a moment to that word in the 10th of John, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That foundation in Christ. Their salvation in Christ, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For if God be for us, saith the scripture, who can be against us? But it is the proving of it. It is the walking out of it in the lives of each one of us if we are his. Let your conversation be without covetousness. These things come very close when we search out our own hearts, when I search out my heart, as we spoke this morning of that work of grace in the heart of a sinner, that nature that is in us. And what is covetousness? In the Ten Commandments it speaks, thou shalt not covet. And it is it not, that in our natures, which is that inordinate desire, affection, for those things that we do not have. No, again, we search out our own heart, do not look at others. How much around us in this present evil world is geared up to entice us to desire those things what does Paul write? Those things we do not have. But what does Paul write to the Colossians concerning covetousness? Covetousness, which is idolatry. John, in his first epistle, closes with those words, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." We may have said before, perhaps there is that, when we talk of idols, that goes up in our thoughts of those statues, those things that others bow down to. But O child of God, what are the idols in our lives? Look in our own heart again, how our children can become idols, how our career can become idols, how being taken up with what we might consider to be good works can become an idol. What is an idol? Anything that would come in our hearts, anything that would stand between us and our Lord. We sing those lines of the hymn, and how true the hymn writer and the experience of it. We let the idols in, we cannot let them out. But this we will have to prove, and it may be in the bitter experience of it, that no idol will stand before Almighty God. As the ark was taken into the temple of Dagon, and how we read how Dagon fell before the ark, so those idols in our lives will be brought down. It may be in those terrible things in righteousness. It may be in that the Lord's hand going out, as it were, against us. But this we will prove, that in that chastening hand of Almighty God, it is in love, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In that care, that concern, for each one of us, let your conversation be without covetousness, be without boasting, be without that puffing up of self. We were struck, as we read it recently, by that very searching word in the second of Peter, in the third chapter, where Peter speaks of that time when this world will be burnt up, when this world will come to an end. As we spoke this morning of God spake and this world came into being, so there is a time known of Almighty God when this world will be no more, will be burnt up. And that day of judgment that is before us each. But Peter writes these words to the scattered flocks throughout Asia Minor. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Very searching, searches me. As we look into our own hearts, into our lives, as we look into the words of this text before us, that following of the Lord, as the scripture speaks, that ye are the salt of the earth, and if the salt has lost its savour, it is good for nothing. What manner of persons ought ye to be? And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, read it yesterday evening, speaks those words, that how they had turned from idols to the living God, and how they looked for that appearing of the Lord. I think in Titus also it speaks of that looking for the appearing of the Lord, teaching us, denying ungodly worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Searches us out, does it not? But who are we looking for? We perhaps go on in our lives daily, speak of ourselves. But are we truly looking for that day of the Lord, that day when the Lord, yes, that time appointed of our death, but that day when the Lord will appear? Is it the day of Pentecost? The angel said, this same Jesus shall come again. Yes, there is that looking for his appearing as we go on in the way, in the pathway, in the journey. But to be looking unto Jesus, to be looking for him. And if we are found in that place, again we speak carefully, there will be no place for that covetousness in our conversation. Be no place for the love of this world and all that it brings to our hearts. What does that covetousness, which is idolatry, bring to the heart of a child of God? Emptiness, barrenness, that forlornness. But oh, what a mercy. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even in those places we come into, in our barrenness, our emptiness, through the folly of ourselves. I have said before, but those words in the 23rd Psalm, so full of love, so full of mercy, he restoreth my soul. What a mercy. What a mercy the Lord careth for the soul, for each of the souls of his people, watches over them. restores them, brings them back, brings that soul, that far off soul, to that place, say unto my soul, thou art my salvation. Oh, the love, the restoring love and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners, to sinners. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Be content with such things that ye have. We read this morning in the 4th of Philippians those words of Paul. I have learned, whatever state, condition I am in, therewith to be content. Have we? What have we learned in that school of Christ? Oh, there is a bringing of us down, is there not? There is a bringing of us to that place of submission to the will of the Lord in our lives. To speak for a moment, as we spoke this morning of how unbelief entered into this world, and what is that fruit of unbelief in the heart of a sinner? Disobedience. Disobedience. But where faith is raised up in your heart, my heart, what is the effect of it? Submission. Submission. Obedience to the will of the Lord. Where there is faith, that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then there will be that bringing of us submissive, obedient. Left to ourselves, the unbelieving spirit in us, the disobedient, the rebellious spirit in us, that work all of grace, that work of burning up all that we would lean upon, all that we would cling to, that stripping of us, of bringing down what? That pride that is in us. We were struck, as we sang in the first hymn, guard me round on every side, save me from self-righteous pride. Me with Jesus' mind and smile, melt me with celestial fire. You may have said before that bringing of us to pray, to be kept from ourselves. Oh, if perhaps, and again, we would not say this in any proud, boastful way, for even in our prayers at times, pride can well up. People would think it strange to hear a sinner cry, to pray that the Lord would keep them from self, sin, self, Satan. But when the Lord shows us what is in us by nature, when we're brought to the truth of that scripture, that our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked above all things, then it will be that bringing of us to cry unto the Lord to keep us. Then we will be brought to the truth of that scripture, kept by the power of God. cannot keep ourselves, does not excuse us, but left to ourselves, that spirit in us. So the exhortations here and the needfulness of these exhortations as Paul was inspired to write them to the Hebrews. And that needfulness of the exhortations, certainly in my life, your life, I believe, if we are his, to be kept from self, to be kept from those desires that are in us. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. The enemy of souls, even Satan, never far away, stirring up, as we read in James this morning, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when it is finished, bringeth forth death, that barrenness in the soul. And so, that needfulness in our prayers to pray that the Lord wilt keep us. Again, it searches us out. What of our prayers unto the Lord concerning our never dying soul? Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We read in the Gospel of John, that having loved them, he loved them unto the end. And as the Lord speaks at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. That none shall pluck from his hand. Here is the foundation. Yes, do not get me wrong, that foundation is in the covenant of electing love and mercy. Shall we say here is a foundation truth? As we read in Deuteronomy of those words, that underneath are the everlasting arms. And as those promises are set forth in the scripture, as the Lord's people are brought to lean upon them, to trust in them, so the proving of them, that upholding arms of Almighty God underneath each one of his people, and as has been commented, that none shall fall below those arms. And dear child of God, in that lowest place where you have been, where I have been, has there not been a proving? Those arms underneath. Maybe that prayer wrought out in our hearts. Lord, do not let me go. Lord, do not let me go. Those arms underneath. And the truth that this scripture proved, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So, the foundation truth, that we are brought, as we are taught by the Holy Spirit, to that leaning upon him, to that trusting in him. Be content with such things as ye have. For my God, says Paul, as he proved it, and have we not proved it, shall supply all your need, all your need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And it may be those changes in circumstances in our lives, and we wonder how we might use the expression, we might make ends meet. But this we will prove. As the Lord spoke to his disciples, lack ye anything, lack ye anything. Dear child of God, what's your answer to that question? Can we not say from our hearts, nothing, Lord, nothing? Have we not proved, as we've sung those lines, perhaps at times, too good to be uncertain he, too wise to be uncertain he, sorry, too good to be unkind. That love, those arms underneath, those loving arms around, each one of his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that banner of love over each one. So that we may boldly say, if God be for us, who can be against us? That boldness will not be in ourselves. It will be as that strength is given, as faith is raised up in our hearts. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And our thoughts went to those words in the first of Samuel. Then Samuel took a stone, set it between Mizpah and Shem, and called the name of it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So they sing the lines of that hymn, he who's helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through. The Lord is my helper and my strength, my support. As those everlasting arms are proved to be underneath, as we look back in that way, can we not speak, look back of those Ebenezers, those stones of help, those waymarks in the way where the Lord has appeared. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me, helped you. 'Tis the proving of it, is it not? Those spots and places. Perhaps where there were those impossibilities as we thought, and that proving that it is the Lord who was able to make those impossibilities possible. And so, and I will not fear what man may do unto me. I will not fear what man may do unto me. We think of one time in our life, we would not speak of self, we were in a position in our workplace, were over a matter of principle I was not able to agree with what was happening. I went home to my loved one and said, well, I will have to resign. Not sure what we'll do, but it was that. If we got, we might say, again, it's not to speak of self, but we got to that pitch in the matter. But on the next day, we met with the principal, and he made a proposal that made that way through. It was that, as it were, that wisdom of Solomon, only that God-given wisdom. Again, the hearts of all men in his hands. It is only that wisdom of Almighty God that will break through those impossibilities. And in it, there will be a proving that them that honour me, I will honour. We read that portion concerning Daniel, that familiar scriptures to us. But oh, the proving of it, I will never leave thee nor forsake. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Them that honour me, I will honour. And those enemies may rise up in our lives, may rise up against us. And as we thought on these things, our thoughts went to the portion we read in John, the world hates you. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. But it is in that walking out, in the fear of the Lord. Again, we look back in those early days when the Lord dealt with us, and that hatred even amongst our own family, to that change in us, told that it would drive us mad. But oh, the grace given to walk submissive, cannot give it ourselves. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Or in Luke, it speaks these words, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say, fear him. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? For that soul in that place, upheld by the precious love and mercy, washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in that robe of righteousness. As Paul writes in the epistles, ye are complete in him. Oh, the depth of that fullness, of that completeness in Christ. That love that surrounds that love that upholds. Again, as Paul writes to the Romans, speaking of the end of the 8th chapter, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What, and after he enumerates all those things, nothing, things present nor to come, shall separate from that love, from those arms that uphold us, from those arms that strengthen us. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And Daniel raised up to that place of authority, the hand of Almighty God watching over. We may have said before concerning Daniel in the lion's den that he must have been, as it was coming to the end of the captivity, taken into captivity as a young man, that he must have been certainly 70 or so years of age and over. And none of us know what we may have to walk before, what might lie before us. While the example of Daniel and those children of Israel, as we read in the first chapter, that they would not take and partake of those, that food of the court of Nebuchadnezzar, but would rather suffer that affliction, as it were, with the people of God than enjoy the courts of the king for a season. And how the Lord honoured them, and through his life, that walking in the fear of the Lord, even down to old age. Could, again, we would not, we'd speak carefully, not speculatively. Could have closed his windows, but he did not. Them that honour me, I will honour. And it is in the proving of it. We look back in our student days of those things where we had to separate from those that we had been familiar with. And it may be in our own careers, we look back of the Lord granting us that success which is necessary, that leaning upon him, that proving the truth of those words, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That being content with such things that we have, that leaning upon him, that being kept from self, and that following him in whatsoever place he would have us to be. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And as Daniel proved, the Lord able physically to shut the mouths of those lions, have we not proved in measure in those trials and tribulations that may have seen as those lions roaring around us, the Lord able to silence, the Lord able to bring to naught those that rise up against us. But it will also be this, a bringing down of us to our knees in praying for the Lord to undertake for us. The battle is the Lord's. It may be that battle before you, no, not what's before me, but it alone it will be through prayer, through that bringing of us emptied of self, that leaning upon him. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Thoughts go for a moment as we spoke of making that idol of our children. So we see Jacob, Joseph, that coat, the envy, that coat of many colours, that envy that rose up in the hearts of his brothers. But the purpose of Almighty God, as Joseph was brought to that place where Jacob had been taken to be with the Lord, the remorse in the hearts of his brothers, he meant it for evil. The Lord meant it for good. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men or what man shall do unto me. For might the Lord pardon what we said amiss, but might there be that for us to take, to feed upon, to look back, to see indeed, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And that despite all our fickleness, all our backsliding, all that that is in our heart, his love unchanging, his mercy unfailing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association, amounted to £1,110, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ince will preach next Lord's Day, and hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 235. In all our worst afflictions, when furious foes surround us, when troubles vex and fears perplex, and Satan would confound us, when foes to God and goodness, we find ourselves by feeling to do what's right, unable quite, and almost as unwilling. Hymn 235.
look down upon us, dear. Pardon what thou hast seen amiss. Do bless this people here, O Lord. O might thou abide with them. Might thou abide with us. O we pray. Take us now in safety. Hear those cries that have gone up unto thee. Those secret cries, O Lord, that thou wilt bless. Help now. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and forever. Amen.